Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of what it means to have eternal life in our spirit. We've been making the point that Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics, although there's certain things we must believe and behaviors that we are supposed to adopt. Christianity is first and foremost supernatural. It is a living, organic union between God and man through Jesus. God created men in such a way, men and women, in such a way that we are able to receive His life into our spirit, into our innermost being. That's His intention for us. If we go back to the beginning, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There were two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which everyone knows about because Adam ate from that, but there's also the tree of life. It was God's desire that Adam eat from that tree of life and in doing so express his choice to depend on Almighty God for everything and thereby be united to the uncreated eternal life in God himself. But of course, Adam ate from the other tree and united himself and the race in him to death, sin, and corruption. And you and I are born into a fallen world with a sin nature. We inherit from great-great-granddaddy Adam. We are by nature sinners, objects of God's wrath, according to Ephesians 2:3. We're unholy, unrighteous children of the devil, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. God came to earth and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to open the way for us to be transformed through receiving eternal life. When we believe on Jesus, the Holy Spirit unites us to the life that's in God, as truly as a branch is joined to a vine, as truly as a head is joined to a body, as truly as a husband and a wife are joined together. Those three word pictures are used to describe the relationship we have with Jesus when we believe on Him. Eternal life in our spirits produces a tremendous transformation in us. We're literally born of God, and we become partakers of His nature, which is life. We go from being unholy, unrighteous children of the devil to holy, righteous sons and daughters of God through the new birth. Because whatever's in that life is in us now, because that life has come into us. Eternal life in our spirit will enable us to walk as Jesus walked when He was on this earth. And we now need to learn to walk or conduct ourselves in the light of the life of God in us, so that we can have outward demonstration of the life within. Now, recently, last week specifically, and a little bit the week before, we've referred to the Apostle Paul. Paul was given the revelation of union with Christ. He's the one to whom Jesus revealed what happens when a person is born again. And Jesus commissioned Paul to preach it. And we made the point that Paul had outward demonstration of this new life within. From him, we learn that you and I need to know what we have in us through the new birth. That's why we're taking time to talk about it. And then we have to believe what we have in us because we're born of God. We spent last week analyzing Galatians 2:20, phrase by phrase. In that statement, Paul said, "I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We went into great detail about what Paul was saying through that verse. Let me just briefly summarize. This verse shows us that there are a lot of other verses that show us this as well, verses Paul was inspired to write, but this puts it all in one succinct statement. Paul knew that he was in union with and a partaker of the life of God. He knew that he had died with Christ at the cross. Jesus went to the cross for him as his substitute, took his place. Jesus joined him in death so that Paul could join Jesus in life. And the life that was given back to Jesus in the resurrection was given to Paul in the new birth, and you as well, you and me as well. That life was given to Paul, and he knew that he was in union with and a partaker of the life of God. And he said he lived by faith in the Son of God. He expected Jesus in him to be in and through him all that he had promised and all that he had provided through that union. Paul knew he had the life of God in him through union with Christ. He believed it and he experienced it. So he's our model. Paul knew it, believed it, and experienced it. You and I need to know what's in us, believe what's in us, and then we will experience it. We went into great detail talking about how in the context of having a treasure in earthen vessels, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul said of the many trials he faced that in all of them, the life of God was demonstrated in and through him. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, Paul stressed awareness of inward ability through union with Christ. Inward ability that shows up outwardly to empower us to deal with life's hardships. And we made the point that it is in that context that Paul said, we walk by faith and not by sight. We all know that verse, but the context of walking by faith and not by sight is awareness of inward ability that shows up outwardly to empower us to deal with with the hardships life sends our way. Paul said that he knew what was in him, he believed what was in him, and then it was demonstrated in him. Paul further said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, that we have received Jesus and his life by faith, and now we walk in the light of it by faith. Let me read Colossians 2, 6 out of Wade's translation. Since then, you have received the Christ, even Jesus the Lord. Conduct yourselves in the consciousness of union with him. To experience the indwelling ability and power of God outwardly, we have to know and believe that God, by his life, is in us. We have to live with the awareness of this inward ability. We do that by faith. Now, it's easy to believe when you feel good. It's easy to believe you've got God in you by his life when you feel good. But that's not Bible faith. See, most of us live by sight and not by faith. Sight, to walk by sight. Well, let me back up. Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. Whatever Bible faith is, it's not sight. They're polar opposites. We walk by faith and not by sight. Bible faith is not sight. But most of us live and walk by sight, but we don't realize it. To walk by sight means you base what you believe and how you act on what you see and feel. This would be an example. I feel weak, therefore I am weak. Or I feel strong, therefore I am strong. But all of that is based on what I see and what I feel. When I no longer feel strong, then I must no longer be strong. See, there's two sources of information available to us at all times. What we see with our eyes and what God says about our situation. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, this is a verse in this passage that we're making such a big deal out of, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, where Paul talks about awareness of inward ability that shows up outwardly to empower him to deal with the hardships of life. He says, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while I look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Look there means mentally consider. While I mentally consider not the things which are seen, but I mentally consider the things which are not seen. He says there's seen things and there's unseen things. And I put my attention on the invisible things. You see, there's more to reality than what we see and feel. If you're a Christian today, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you've bowed your knee to him and been born again, there are tremendous changes that have taken place in you, in your inward man. We've just spent a bunch of time talking about them. There's way more to you than what you see on the outside. There's the inside. What's going on the inside of you? There's more to reality than what you see and feel. And if we can learn to side in with what God says about the way things really are, what we see will change. What we see and feel will change. You may feel weak. I don't deny that. I feel weak a lot of times. I feel overwhelmed a lot of times. But weakness and overwhelmness, my feelings are not the basis of my identity. How I feel is not the basis of my identity, of who I am. The condition of my spirit is the basis of my identity. The condition of my spirit is what I really am. And what is the condition of my spirit? My spirit? My spirit is alive with the life of God. My spirit is filled with righteousness, peace, joy, love, strength, health. That's the basis of my identity. See, we don't deny that we feel weak. We don't deny that we are weak in and of ourselves to deal with whatever is at hand. Faith recognizes that there's more to reality than sight and feeling. Faith recognizes that that greater reality can and will change what we feel. Paul felt weak. We know it from what he wrote in the scripture. But he knew that he had inward strength, and he depended on God in him to be in and through him what he needed to be. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not a religious cliche, although for most of us it is. For Paul, that was a statement of reality. I can do all things through that inner strength that's in me through union with Christ. The Amplified Bible says, I have strength for anything. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. He felt weak, but he knew he had inward strength. He felt overwhelmed, but he knew that inwardly he was bigger than what he was facing because God was in him. See, here's what we do. We say, oh, yes, amen. Christ is my strength. Then when we don't feel any different and nothing changes, we conclude, it's not working. I must have done something wrong. But that's all walking by sight. You know you're weak because of how you feel. You know you're strong because of how you feel. Your evidence for who you really are has to become the Word of God, which tells you who you really are. We'll pick it up here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.